This is Rather Be Yeeted by Bluebell Star, a Star Wars, The Clone Wars, Star Wars All Media Types fanfic. It is rated T and no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship Cody / Obi-Wan Kenobi and has the tags POV Boyle, POV Outsider, Oblivious, Pining, Boyle has had enough. So has the 212. So has everyone. How to get your Oblivious Commander and your Oblivious Jedi General together without showing it. Summary. Now, Boyle liked to think that he was a very level-headed kind of clone trooper. He kept his head down, did his job, never acted as crazy as his buddy Cut Fives and Echo in the 501st. Oh no, he was a good trooper, a survivor, a fighter, a true member of the 212th. Boyle can survive a lot. He just can't handle any more of this. Now, Boyle liked to think that he was a very level-headed kind of clone trooper. He kept his head down, did his job, never acted as crazy as his Vodka Fives and Echo in the 501st. Oh no. He was a good trooper, a survivor, a fighter, a true member of the 212th. He had survived a lot. Too much, probably. He had survived a brief slip of time when General Skywalker, the craziest mother criffer in the entire Karkin galaxy, had still been somewhat in charge of the 212th. He had survived missions attached to Skywalker and his teeny tiny, equally criffing crazy Padawan. At least he hadn't been yeeted off any cliffs, unlike Rex and the members of the 501st. Amateurs. He survived mission after mission with Boxer by his side, and that was a medal worthy in and of itself. Boyle was also proud to admit that he had survived his assignment to the 212th. The 212th, under the command of High General Kenobi. General Kenobi, the perfect Jedi. The negotiator. The second most mother-criffing crazy asshole in the entire galaxy. This idiot, said with all the respect in the world, who catapulted himself head first into legions of clankers, tanks, and force only knew what else, without armor, and armed only with the force and his fancy-ass laser sword. This criffhead, who attracted more blaster fire than most of the Gar could ever hope to see. This lunatic, whose bright idea when faced with Seppies and actual danger was to flirt his way out of it. And actually succeeded. Yes. Boyle was proud to say that he had survived, and hopefully would continue to survive, serving under General Kenobi. He was, after all, serving under the best general in the entire Gar. Boyle did not care what any of the other commanders, or even Commander Cody, thought. Kenobi was the best, and the others could suck it, but Boyle was getting sidetracked. You see, he could survive all of that and more. Especially when you threw in General Clanker and the crusty old guy who ran the Seppies, both wanting to personally kill the general. But what Boyle knew he couldn't survive. Not for one criffing second more, he swore on the Force, was this. Now, some people might say, oh Boyle, it's not so bad. Or they might say, you should try serving with Commander Bly and General Secura, the married couple of the Gar. And nobody could deny that. But Boyle knew better. The entire 212th and the whole 501st knew better. Because only they truly understood the pain. Oh, the agony. Only they had to face missions, endure their downtime with the two most sickeningly oblivious fools in the entire history of the universe. Boyle was prepared to bet his bucket on that. Nobody could be more oblivious and yet more nauseating than the men he had to serve under. Commander Cody wasn't so bad. At least he had his bucket on sometimes to hide the love-struck, love-sick looks he couldn't help but wear. At least he could still stand there and shoot shit while pining after the crazy Jedi who was risking his life over and over and over again. At least Cody still had some variation of chill. He didn't have much chill, Boyle would admit, but at least he had the sense to admit that he was a lost cause. Frankly, a lot of them were. Have you looked at General Kenobi? One look at him and half his brothers would be having an instant sexuality crisis. But the general, Kenobi, was the real oblivious fool. Boyle had lost track of how many times he had accidentally lost his cloak or lightsaber, just so Cody could gallantly return it to him, and he could have the excuse of a little stolen while in his company. If Boyle took a shot of their illicit moonshine every time he caught Kenobi staring, and he meant full-on staring, at the commander while they were on the bridge, or actually in the middle of a gripping battle, Boyle would be wasted by mid-morning. Every day. Boyle knew that if he had to endure so much as one more day of them mooning after each other, pining pathetically, acting like shinies instead of the battle-hardened veterans they were, he would request a transfer to Skywalker. He would rather run the risk of daily yeetings off cliffs than watch them dance around each other for one more second. So, being a brilliant tactician, thanks Rex for the advice, Boyle and Waxer, and Helix and Chris and a lot of their brothers in the 212th, had conspired. It was a harmless conspiracy. Fox, Bly, Wolf, and Rex had assured him so. Really, it was for the good of the company, and for their sanity. And just to make sure the Criffing War couldn't cark up their plans, they made sure that the 212th was on downtime before they executed their brilliance. Boyle and Waxer had caught the general just before he was to go on duty, keeping him in his surprisingly Spartan quarters. Meanwhile, Helix, their resident medic, had the trickier job. Well, trickier if you didn't consider having to lie to a Jedi, even when as trusting as General Kenobi. Helix, now unfortunately a dead man walking, if Cody caught him after this, had to track down the commander and tell him that the general had injured himself in his quarters. Boyle made sure that Helix would tell him it wasn't life-threatening, more for their sake than Cody's, the poor bastard. Nevertheless, it was guaranteed to make Cody drop everything, sometimes literally, F for their equipment, and run to the general's side, which was precisely what happened. Cody had all but bowled Boyle and Waxer over, yeeting them out of the way like Skywalker with his favorite troopers, desperate to reach the general's quarters. They had about 10 seconds to enjoy the look of astonishment on both the general and the commander's faces before Waxer locked them in there. Even a Jedi couldn't open that door once Waxer was through with it. They had to stay in there until they talked. Well, talked, if that's what the Shinies were calling it these days. Waxer remotely unlocked the door after 2 hours. The general and the commander only emerged the next day. Both of them looked very pleased with themselves. Almost too pleased with themselves, considering how criffing oblivious they'd been for so long. Mission accomplished. Right? Boyle conceded that he hadn't perhaps considered the full ramifications of getting the oblivious idiots to finally confess. Now, the 212th had to deal with Cody and Kenobi flirting in front of them, sucking each other's faces off in the corridors, bickering affectionately on the battlefield. Oh, force. If they weren't so happy, Boyle would almost miss their obliviousness.